better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You know, I had to make a deal with a guy on Twitter yesterday that we would spend the first hour of the show talking Razorback basketball. Like, he said that had to be a must. And it was also relayed and reaffirmed by some of the other people who were on social media, too, because I think Razorback fans are just excited about Razorback basketball itself. And the fact is that last night, you know, you didn't have two players that you were kind of hoping you would have, but for different reasons. Obviously, Connor Vanover has officially made known that his waiver from the NCAA was denied. Eric Musselman did not agree with the decision. Of course, I don't think any coach would.
Well, because they've been allowing everybody to play.
Yeah.
When I say everybody, I mean, the count was, it was like 35-4 and like 4-5 against. Now, I did not think he was going to be cleared. Like I tried to explain earlier, but people just kind of took the comments and ran with it and didn't understand what I was trying to say. So I'm not going to say it again, but I understand why Eric Musselman was so upset, because once again, everybody got clear but Vanover.
Yeah, and it seemed like as far as...
Free Vanover.
Well, that and he started four guards last night was why he was so upset. So. Well,
four and a half, because the center was 6'6".
Yeah, and it also just goes that, you know, I think that there was just... If you wanted a story or if you wanted a setup to where it looked like that there would be a reason to make him eligible, it was the Connor Vanover situation. And the fact that they took so long was a shame, too. But you also not only didn't have him, but you also didn't have Reggie Chaney, who is suspended. Is he suspended indefinitely? Is there actually been a – I don't think that – I know he's suspended, obviously, for the season.
Well, I think the release said until he – something along the lines until he meets the terms of his – Of the suspension with team rules. I don't know. I just botched that. But essentially, he has some conditions of the suspension he has to meet.
Okay. So that's fair enough to say. But I just, you know, it's like a tradition, though, at this point that Arkansas always has a player suspended to start the season opener. But
this schedule, this is the time of the year.
Yes, it is.
If you're going to have a suspension, this is the time of the year to have
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely it is. So you don't want to deal with that. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Wayne is in Magnolia. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, not much, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing great, man. How about yourself?
I can't complain. Headed to work here, about to drive a bus, go pick up some kids. But, hey, I wanted to talk about is what's your beef Wednesday. I saw those rankings come out last night, too. And, look, I was born and raised in Michigan. Everybody that's listening from down here, they probably know who I am. I make it known. I'm a Big Ten fan, but I'm telling you what, Ohio State, Penn State, they do not need to be on that list there. Look at LSU. Texas, Auburn, and Florida. Do I need to say anything else? Look at Ohio State's record. They haven't played anybody. There's no reason Ohio State should be ranked number one. I'm not saying that just because I'm a Michigan fan and we were born and bred to hate Ohio State. I'm saying that because the facts don't lie. All you got to do is check the record. I know I don't have much to say about the Razorbacks. First game, I enjoyed the win last night. I know you just said that you wanted to talk Razorbacks first hour. I wanted to talk football. So other than that, guys, I'm going to hang up and y'all have a great day.
I appreciate the phone call, Wayne. You know, when we were talking about the college football playoff rankings, yeah, that was where I was with you on, is that Ohio State being number one. Because, again, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Whoever's going to be the best teams are going to get in. So, I mean, this is the early going rankings. But like you mentioned, though, LSU has beaten Texas, Auburn, and Florida. Huge wins. Ohio State, their biggest wins. Michigan State and Wisconsin. Those are the only teams that they've really beaten that have.
Is Jeff Long still on the committee, or can we not blame him?
No, he's not on the committee anymore.
He's not like consulting or anything?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. At least.
Ken Hatfield's on the committee.
Yeah.
We can't blame him.
Yeah. No. Yeah. People actually like him.
He's got
those
Martha Harp rolls, you know?
Exactly.
Fried chicken, man. We can't be blaming him.
Exactly. I don't even know. I got to look up who the college football chairman is. It just escaped my mind on who it is. But no, it was. People are going to get upset by this. And at the end of this weekend, of course, the LSU Alabama rankings were changed because somebody's got to win that game. And, if it ends up being LSU, I think they'll jump to number one. Or if it ends up Alabama, they may jump to number one. I don't know. But. It's just the early going rankings. It's something for people to get upset about, for sure. So,
the most important thing for these teams is to win your conference title, right? Go undefeated, win your conference title, or you know.
Is it, though? Because these days,
yeah,
it doesn't matter if you win your conference title and they get the college football playoff.
You want to guarantee yourself a spot? Be the Big Ten champion. Be the SEC champion.
What about
be the ACC champion?
What about the Big 12 champion?
I think if you're a one-loss Oklahoma, you're probably in as the four seed.
Really? What, even over a one-loss Bama or LSU?
They put a little extra, or they have in the past. Now, it, I don't know that the precedent doesn't always carry over with this, you know, because they're different people on the committee. But I know this, you're not leaving out an undefeated SEC, ACC, or Big Ten champion. Not going to happen. Yeah. So if Ohio State, if LSU or Alabama or Clemson won in, be an undefeated conference champion. You're in. You know, the committee doesn't have a choice. So that's the path. I mean, it's obvious. You know.
I just
take the committee out of it. Just win your game.
Right. No. And that's really what it's going to come down to. It's just, you know.
But that's what makes this thing fun. Is that's not what's going to happen.
No.
Never does.
No. Penn State and Ohio State can't both be undefeated champions. LSU and Alabama can't both be undefeated champions. And that's part of the genius of what this committee has done. Well, we'll just put Ohio State and Penn State up there. We'll put LSU and Alabama at 2 and 3. You know, because they can't, you know, that will work itself out. Everybody gets all worked up over these polls. It's going to work itself out because, oh, I don't know, LSU and Alabama, when do they play? Oh, I don't know, Saturday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll work itself out.
Well, let's just be honest. The teams that are ahead of your team does not deserve to be there. And your team is always being disrespected and should be higher. I mean, that's just always how people are going to feel.
You know, I didn't see my team last night, but I'm pretty sure they are where they deserve to be.
What rank is that?
I keep scrolling and I can't find them.
Keep letting it reload. Maybe it'll pop up there.
Refresh.
Yeah, still not there. Keep going along with it. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. A basketball comment first. One of the things I always look for in the box score is rebounding and free throw numbers. I was very pleased to see our rebounding last night was, I think, double what Rice's was, which I really love because I know it was
not quite 45-27, but close. Yeah.
But I know usually in the past somebody come down, jack up a three, and everybody's already running the other way, and nobody's there to rebound, which is just infuriating. I love awesome.
Looks like we're losing them. You're getting right to your point, David, and we lost you, man. Try calling back again. Let's go to Danny, who is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Is Ross that bad, or I hadn't really looked
yes.
to see what they had.
They are a very bad team, yes.
Okay, but in times past, we have played down to their level. Last night, we did not. I was impressed. I thought we played good defense. Now, maybe they're just terrible. But
No.
What was there? Playing good on defense.
Two shot clock violations for Rice in the first half, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's the sign of pretty good defense, generally.
Yeah, and, you know, last year we wasted a lot of energy pressing, and we never got any turnovers out of it. But they saved their energy for the half court, and they really hustled. Like I said, we don't know, but that's a great start, like Nick said. And as far as the football rankings, one of the commentators said if Oregon, one loss, Oregon or Utah might jump a one loss Alabama. I don't see that, or LSU. I don't see that at all. I think that's ridiculous. But I'm just going to get a little beef in here before I get off. I do like coaches to wear suits, but it's not a
deal breaker. Why is that?
Dress for success. I like it,
okay.
But it doesn't bother me that much. I do like for them to wear suits, but my beef is people who wear their pajamas to Walmart and places like that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
My little sister
Crisco
does that all the time.
Baby who can't keep their
behind a what?
Pulled up, and they just give you a bad look in the morning, guys. Anyway, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
Did it sound like you said, did he say a Crisco baby?
No, I think he said a Christian young lady.
In pajamas.
I saw a meme the other day. It said, went to Walmart and they didn't have what I needed. Now I got to go all the way back home, take a shower, put my clothes on, and go to Target.
Mm-hmm. That's actually funny.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Get out of my pajamas so I can go to Target.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Andy in Mountain Home just texted in. Nick, he says, where can I get information on the upcoming Adidas Hoopin' for Hoodies tournament? You know anything about that?
I'm wondering if that's a troll or if that's...
I mean, it's Andy in Mountain Home. He's texting into the show.
Right. No. I know he does. And he's actually one of the listeners that's very aware of what we have going on. So I just wonder if that's a troll because I have no idea where you can do anything with Adidas or Under Armour or Reebok or Converse.
Nick's a Nike man.
How about Skechers?
None of those either.
New Balance?
Definitely not those.
Converse?
Not those either. Mm.
Is Apex still around?
So what kind of shoes I got on today?
Focus.
Oh, Nikes.
You got Nikes on?
Yeah.
When Nick worked here, we used to get some Nike swag every now and then. But
no, but then you, hey, then
not
you let
so
him
much
go.
More lately.
So check this. I just left the meetings.
yeah, here we go. With some empty promises coming up in three.
I did. I just left
two,
the meetings in the morning rush.
One.
Your shipment is on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What are we getting?
Shirts. I think we have some hoodies and stuff, too.
You think... I don't know. I don't know if I could see Tommy wearing a hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially if it's free.
I've never seen him wear a hoodie. I've always seen him wear
one last week.
I mean, you're like Eric Musselman over there. You just rock your polo shirts, sport polo shirts. That's all I ever see. So,
hey, I will tell you
bring
this.
Bring me that hoodie. I'll wear it.
Yeah. If Musselman starts struggling at some point, you know that's going to come up like he doesn't wear suits.
Oh, yeah.
It's
going to be like, that's what it is.
It is.
Yeah, I you've already called it, and it's going to
Hey, I don't blame you. Like, I don't blame people out there. If you win, you can do whatever you want to.
That's right. I don't care if you're
out there. Bobby Petrino. Nobody had a problem with Bobby treating people the way he treated them when he was winning.
Yeah. But as soon as he started losing, though, if he started treating people like that, it was going to go away very quick and fast.
Yeah. So I don't think the average fan in our state cares whether he wears a suit or sport coat with no tie. I think it's just kind of set by, I think the athletic director obviously can dictate what coaches wear. And
do you really think that's what it is, though?
Yep.
I think it's more just that's what the kind of the like tradition almost like just coaches go out there and wear suits.
No, I think the leader of any department or organization sets the culture. Yeah. And when the AD, I think the AD obviously can tell you, hey, I want my coaches on TV wearing suit and tie.
Well, Jeff, what was Brett Bielema then?
Well, in football, that's not the standard. You know,
well, I mean, when they get off the buses and they're walking around.
Well, yes, but and Brett Bielema wore suit and tie. Chad Morris wears suit and tie.
Not towards the end, but he was always out there in his, whatever you call that.
Yeah, because he was screaming, fire me.
Yeah, it's probably.
Pay me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
But that's when you're least seen is from the bus to the locker room, right?
Right. No, I mean, I get it. I was just in, well, maybe that sweatshirt at the Texas A&M game for Brett Bielema was a little more.
Listen, what Eric Musselman is wearing is the least of Hunter Yurichek's problems right now.
That's right.
He has got a lot more things to worry about.
He's got a few items on his plate.
I don't think he cares right now. And I don't think we care, honestly. I don't think 99 out of 100 fans care.
They don't. At least I hope they don't. They shouldn't care. They should only care about winning. So that's really all that matters.
I don't care. Just put something with a hog on it and wear it and win.
Rock it.
Whatever works to win, mm-hmm. Wear it. Doesn't matter to me. So, hey, if you're not going to the game Saturday, you can go to Joe's Grill and Cantina. They'll be open at 11 o'clock ready, and they'll have the game on. You can enjoy half-price apps and taps. If you're not going to the game next Tuesday when Arkansas basketball returns, you go to Joe's Grill and Cantina, half-price apps and taps. Every time the Hogs play, they'll have the game on in half-price apps and taps. Brisket nachos, Mexican pizza, humongous sampler platters. Next Tuesday will also be Taco Tuesday.
That's right.
So you can get half-price apps and taps. Taco Tuesday, all of it for the game next week.
So wait a minute. So you get all of it?
Yeah.
So two for one in one night?
Yes, sir.
That's great timing right there.
Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street. Sounds like a plan to me.
Yep.
Dollar tacos, half price apps and taps, Joe's Grill and Cantina next Tuesday. Be there.
I know I will.
Be there.
I will 100% be there. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We are doing the best you've ever seen. How about you?
I'm doing better now. It's basketball season. I want to talk football. A shout out to Florida State that fired their coach yesterday, and he had a better record than we got. And his buyout was $20 million instead of $10 million.
know, that's the worst. Hey, right. And I really like you. And
I'm sorry, Nick.
I'm glad you called in whenever I was on the show. That is the worst comparison. And people keep bringing that up. And, like, I just don't understand how you're comparing the two. Like, Florida State, where they're at as a program over the last 10 years, Arkansas, the same way, how they went about it. Florida State didn't just fire a coach. So people have to kill that comparing Arkansas and Florida State.
Well, you're right. We're not where they are. At one time, we were a little better. You know, we at one time. That's been so long ago, I can't remember it now. Yeah. And Musselman can wear a purple ski suit for all I care, as long as he wins.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm just glad it was a basketball team last night instead of a football team playing rats. We'd have found a way to lose that, too.
Yeah.
But it's been a long minute, and I'm excited. Even though it was rats, I'm still excited because we took care of what we did what we were supposed to do, not beat them 63 to 41 or 43 and say, well, they could have done better. Actually, they've been really good. I'm impressed. It's been a while since I said that about anything. I'm still got my rearward facing hog. I hadn't put it on yet, though, right?
That's right. That's right.
Not yet.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Rob. We got to keep it moving, man. Let's go to Drew, who's in Harrison. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, guys. Just calling in because I was going back on what Tommy was saying earlier about the college football playoff. Because, I mean, he's talking about that you got to be a undefeated conference champion to get in. But I'm looking here, and, I mean, you got the only two guys you have left, really, are you have Minnesota at 17, who plays Penn State, and it's still coming up. And then you have Baylor at 12.
I'm just saying, if you are an undefeated conference champion from the Big Ten, the ACC, or the SEC, you're in. The committee, there's no deliberation on that. That's my point. If these teams control their destiny, that's my point.
So if Baylor beats Oklahoma twice, because they play them in the regular season and then have to beat them in the conference championship, you think they could get into the top four and play with Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, or Clemson?
I suspect they can. Yes.
Yeah. I do, too.
Absolutely.
All right. But my other point is I like Musselman wearing the polo on the sidelines. I think it's relating to the kids a little better. And, I mean, he's rocking the new Nike, the limited edition Nike shoes. And, I mean, Corey Williams is sitting over there with his shirt even untucked. So I like the relaxed feel they're giving on the sidelines, letting them play loose.
Yeah, they're kind of the morning rush version of college basketball, yeah. Where, you know, Tommy's got he's setting the standard here with his polo shirt, and then the rest of us just kind of roll in what's comfortable.
Right.
But again, it doesn't matter because I've never been on the sidelines of a basketball game at Bud Walton Arena when there's 17,000 people in there, but I would assume being in a suit probably has to be pretty hot, right? I mean, it has to get a little,
being in your warmth the whole game is a lot hotter.
Oh, I can imagine that too.
Can you imagine? Back in the day in football, I mean, if you've watched any of these Saturdays in the South documentaries or these, you know, this celebration of the 150th anniversary of college football, and they showed a lot of these old games when football coaches used to wear, you know, not coat and tie, but they'd at least wear a tie. And some of them wore a sport coat with mm-hmm. it and wore a suit on the sideline of a football game because that's the way you dressed back then. And people, you see these old baseball games, old football games, and men would wear ties to games. It was just a different day and time where I guess you were conditioned because you grew up without air conditioning. Yeah. You worked in the heat all day. You were acclimated to it. That was just the expectation, the standard back then.
If I was a coach these days,
no longer the standard.
If I was a coach, I'd be wearing shorts. Like I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Well, you know, and I go to some of these high school games and there are programs where that goes on.
Yeah.
You know, where that's what the head coach or the AD or whoever sets the policy there. Early in the year, the staff wears shorts.
Again, none of it matters if you're winning.
That's
none
it.
Of it matters yep. at all. Let's go back and squeeze in another quick phone call. David is in Oklahoma. What's going on, David?
Hey, I've got a beef. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a beef with the selection committee, but not by who they picked or where they picked them, but by the committee itself. These guys are made up of ADs and stuff like that who have full-time jobs and don't no more than nothing spend all of their time studying these teams. I think this committee should be made up of guys like you guys whose only job is to study sports. Those guys have jobs. I don't no more believe that guy that's head of the committee knows a cotton picking thing about Oregon or Utah or Oklahoma. Well, I take that back. He's the Oregon AD. But any of the other schools, I don't believe he knows a cotton picking. Somebody told him what to say, or he watched everything he said. I heard say on game day Saturday before, every single thing the guy said. So he watched game day, and that's how they made their decision. I think the committee should be made up of guys like you guys whose job is to study sports. And thank you for listening to my beef.
All right. Well, thank you for your beef, David, and thank you for listening.
Who that knows a lot about sports doesn't have a job? I'm just curious about that.
What do you mean?
Well, he said the problem was these people have full-time jobs. So that's why they can't be on the committee. So now asking you, who qualified to rank teams does not have a full-time job or doesn't have just a job in
general? I guess he's referring to people that are, when he says like us, I'm sure he's saying people who talk about, you know, it's their job is to study on and research and discuss actual college football.
So he thinks that people like us study this stuff more than the people that are on the committee.
Yes, of course we do, right, Nick. Yeah. No, is that you don't agree with
all? Man, yeah.
Well, we'll get to it. I pulled up who is on the committee here just so we'd have all 13 of their names. And there are a lot of directors, athletic directors, but there's guys like Frank Beamer, and we mentioned Ken Hatfield on there. You know, there are people that I think know football.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. So
yeah,
but hey, he thinks that you and John should take their place. So
yeah, I agree with him.
Well, they don't know.
Who am I to stand in the way of greatness?
They don't know a cotton picking thing about Oregon or anything like that.
A guy named Ronnie Lotz on there. Yeah, does he know anything about football?
What is it? Is it the body clock that Jeff Long kept bringing up? Was that what it was?
Terry Mahajer is on there. So there you go. That's all you need to know.
I'm glad you knew how to pronounce his name because every time I see it on Twitter, I never know how to say it. He's the Arkansas State AD, right?
Yes, I forgot he was on there.
Yeah. How do you say it again?
Mahajer.
Mahajer. I like that. It's very nice. 877
Just say it with confidence. I don't know if it's right. Just say it quick and with confidence.
Well, let me say the phone number. No, it's too late now. We got the second hour of the Morning Rush coming up next. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So what's your beef Wednesday? So call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. If you want to get on the conversation again, I apologize about even bringing up the fact that Eric Musselman wore a polo shirt last night because all the text messages we have had this morning.
I think your punishment for this is you've got to wear a suit and tie in here to do the morning show.
You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want that. I'd put you to shame. I'd rock it.
I'm not going to wear one.
I know. But see, you're already one-upping me on the outfit because apparently somebody says that they think you look younger than I do yesterday. Which
That is not a burner account of mine. I don't.
No.
I barely have my own account, much less a burner account.
True. Maybe it's the facial hair that makes me a little older. I don't know. But
no, it's just my natural good looks.
So if you're telling me that I have
God-given talent, I can't help it.
Can I wear like a sport coat and a tie, or does it have to be a full-on suit?
Three-piece suit, button-up vest, the
whole bit. I do have one.
I have one. I don't know if it still fits, but I've got one somewhere.
Yeah, that's. I may have to have a dry clean.
I got a closet full of suits years ago. I got in a suit kick years ago, but these suits, I guess they're still in style. I don't know. I haven't worn them in years.
You look like a Hart Schaffner and Marks type.
Whatever was on sale at Dillard's.
Probably Art Schaffner and Marks.
Yeah. Okay. I got some polo suits. I got some nice suits, but I never wear them.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I wore a suit. I think it was to a wedding way back when. So, yeah. It doesn't happen often. But if that needs to be my punishment, then I probably will find a way out of it and talk your way out of it.
Yeah.
By the way, this comes from the 479 on our Cherokee Casino Hotline text line. Guy wanted to ask Nick about, he may have touched on it, but he just wants to know what Khalil Garland's status is. No, he's not playing, but what role is he playing on the team right now if he can't play?
Nothing, just a student at the university. And just, you know, they're going to allow him to be around the program probably for as long as he wants to. So, but nothing. He can't do anything because he hasn't finished his degree yet. So he's just over there for support.
Okay. That makes sense. Also, we mentioned in our headlines here this morning that Moses Moody is going to be making his decision November 9th in Little Rock. Now,
did we already say he was coming to Arkansas?
Now, that's...
Didn't we talk about that maybe 2 weeks ago?
I think you made a guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, well,
sign me up.
Well, my question is going to be, he has to go to Arkansas because why would you come back to Arkansas to not...
I'm going
to
tell you this. I saw one time, I'm not going to tell you the name, and it's funny because everybody knows who it is. I'm not going to tell you the name. I saw one guy who came and committed at the Arkansas Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And then did not go to Arkansas.
And apparently was never going to go to Arkansas.
So, but yeah, I mean, he's going to Arkansas. I think it's a matter of, and I'm happy that he's doing it early. Now, did he say he was going to sign and commit or just commit?
I'll have to look at it.
He can't sign till.
Well, but. Is he signing in the early signing period, or is he just committing now? And
you have to ask, ask Richard about that tomorrow when he comes on.
Okay, but. I didn't know if he posted that. If he is just committing, then that's 90% of the battle,
mm-hmm. right?
Because then that means even in the late period, Duke,
clear me
Carolina,
because the early signing period opens when
November. I'd have to look it up on the computer, but we'll at some point in time in November,
because it kind of falls in line with football, doesn't it?
I am not sure about that.
Right. Well, I don't know. A lot of help
it's
you
in,
are.
It's in November for sure. And
Ty says he's just committing. Thank you for listening, Ty.
He's just committing. Okay. So,
Ty, while you're up, tell me when the early signing period is, big boy.
That's 85 or 90% of the battle at that point. And then, it's a long year. I don't think, though, he's going to check. So, if Arkansas goes out there and they win 10 games this year in basketball, I don't think it's going to be something like what's going on with the football team where guys are decommitting as the football team is losing. I don't see guys doing the same thing for the basketball program.
D1 basketball early signing period in 2019 is November 13th, November 20th. November 20th.
There you go.
So just to let everybody know about that. So
that's important. Yeah. I mean, it's very important in the timing of all this.
And, sure, and if he's committing on the 9th, might as well sign, right?
Well, you can't until...
Well, I know, but I'm saying, once the early signing period is, it'd be kind of weird if he waited until after the early signing period.
It's kind of like an engagement and then actually getting married, Because once you've signed, then you're you're fully committed then.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what we've talked about, especially with Moses Moody, is that assuming that he does commit and he does sign, actually sign... Then a lot of these other players too. That's been up like the KK Robinsons and all that. I'm just wondering where their status is going to be.
Yeah. Well. Okay. And then I talked about this earlier. It sounds good. Those guys talking about that they really want to play with each other. And if KK ends up committing too, I'm sure that people will throw that out there. KK is going to do what's best for KK. Just like Chris Moore is going to do what's best for Chris Moore. Jalen Williams is going to do what's best for Jalen Williams. Moses Moody is going to do what's best for Moses Moody. Now, it really sounds good, and it gets the fans behind something with all these guys kind of talking about, oh, yeah, we all want to play with each other. That really factors in my decision. What factors into these guys' decision is everybody in the 2020 class that Arkansas is on in state all think that they can make money playing basketball. All think that they are going to be drafted at some point in time and play in the NBA. Chances of that, zero. There's no way that all five of those guys, but you can't tell those guys that. So those guys are looking for a coaching staff and looking for a situation where they can showcase their talents the best and get to the next level.
All right, so Chris Moore's got Arkansas, Auburn, and Memphis as his final three, right?
Yes.
So me and Ty Richardson were having this conversation late in the afternoon yesterday. Think about those three coaches right there. Eric Musselman, obviously. Penny Hardaway and Bruce Pearl. And we're all high on what Musselman's doing. And just to be in that three, but he's three of three there, right? Because you got Bruce Pearl, who's been in the college game and in this league at Tennessee and now Auburn a long time. Yeah. And been to, I don't know, what do they call that? The Final Four, like last year? And then Penny Hardaway, how do you describe him? NBA icon, summer league legend. How do you describe Penny? Got a shoe line named after him.
Mm-hmm. All of the above.
All of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Musselman, whether we want to admit it, is three of three in that group of coaches that he's going up against, and he's likely going to win, or good chance he's going to win in that recruiting battle. Yeah. And that says a lot when you consider who he's having to go up against as far as head coaches in some of these recruiting battles. With this one particular recruit, Penny Hardaway and Bruce Pearl, and Musselman's going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, but I still think that there's an element, though, that say that Eric Musselman has and maybe that those other two don't, though, is having the experience of actually coaching in the NBA and in the developmental league and all of that. Which,
Penny,
again...
But Penny Hardaway.
What,
Penny
no,
Hardaway.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing at all. I'm just saying that I think that there are still elements of Eric Musselman that he can sell them on and say, okay, Bruce Pearl, he's a great coach, but he hasn't coached in the NBA.
I agree, but, I mean... Am I off my rocker on that conversation? Or?
No, And
I mean, I'm just saying he's the underdog just from the, when he walks in the living room, he goes into the school, wherever, he doesn't have the cachet. He has to put on the sales pitch. He has to show, hey, here's what I can do for NBA development. He has to roll all that out because it's not known like it might be with these other guys.
I don't want to discredit Eric Musselman at all. So
I'm just saying out there.
But I'm about to make another statement. So for those of you that love him, I am. This is not a discredit to him, even though I'm sure I'll get a text message.
Oh, I'm sure you
at,
will. Yeah.
At, you know, 1:45 from the SID saying, did you say these things? I don't want to discredit him at all. But the difference with him and those other coaches is Penny Hardaway and Bruce Pearl are recruiting against Eric Musselman in the entire state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Eric Musselman is not recruiting against the entire state of Tennessee. There are a lot of people in Tennessee that don't give a damn where Chris Moore goes to play basketball. And Bruce Pearl. I mean, Eric Musselman is definitely not recruiting against that entire state. And so in saying that Eric Musselman has a bit of an edge, he has an advantage because when I say the entire state, and what I'm saying is like this. If you don't think that these guys have people on Snapchat, they're hitting them up, hey, go to Arkansas. People in their ear, AAU teammates, AAU coaches, other coaches out there, former players. Like, all this is happening along with Eric Musselman recruiting these guys, whereas the same cannot be said for Penny and the same cannot be said for Bruce Pearl. So if Eric Musselman lands these guys, yes, hey, full credit to him. He did a great job, but he also had the backing of an entire state while recruiting all of these guys, whereas those other coaches don't have that.
Yeah, and I think that another element is, too, and something I know we've discussed, is and something we didn't really see under Mike Anderson because just the way the recruiting was done by him, is that good players want to play with other good players. That's the thing that you always kept saying, is like when the Malik Monk, for instance, the recruiting, you know, he wants to play with great players around him. And I think that that's not just a Malik Monk thing or even those five-star one and done NBA caliber athletes. Those are just players in general that are being recruited by all these different schools, is they want to go to a place where they can play with other great players. Cause just like in the game of basketball, more so than anything, a lot of times when you're surrounded by great players, it makes you look even that much better. And so it's just a matter of, okay, so say if setting the standard and looking at the future way down the future, if Arkansas is able to pull off and getting these five kids or however many kids, but get them all to play together, what about that next recruiting class? And thinking about, okay, because I don't think any of those guys that Eric Musselman, at least the five guys, are going to be for sure one and done guys.
No.
Not saying that they won't try to go or anything like that, because you never know. But
they're not going
to
be one and done.
So knowing that, then you could have a new player, or you going into a 4 or 5-star player and be like, man, you get to play with these guys next year as a true freshman.
And that's been the problem. In football, but that's been the problem. You know why Dave Van Horn is so good? Because... And he says it's all like he stacks recruiting classes every single year. He has a top five pitcher, top five outfielder, top five infielder, top five catcher. I mean, it's every single year. Like he does, he does not miss a year. Whereas whenever you're looking at Arkansas, so for every time you get Daryl Macon, Barford, and one class, bang. Well, two classes before that you didn't get anybody, and then the class after that you didn't get anybody.
And the margin of error in basketball is a lot smaller because you're not recruiting. You know, in football, you're recruiting 25 guys. In basketball, it's 3, 4, 5 guys.
And out of those 25 guys, just think about this. You can miss on 60 or 70% and still be great if you fool around and hit a DMAC or if you got
a 10 or 12 of them to be good in football.
Jerry's right or whatever. You miss on half of your basketball recruiting class, you're going to be fired eventually. I mean,
you miss on 2 players, 3 players.
Because it's just hard. It's hard to play catch up. But yes, the biggest thing about the new Fab Five, the biggest thing about them is that's such a solid recruiting class, and it gives you a core, it gives you a base, and then I just don't think that you ever dip below that base. You're able to use those guys as a core, add other guys with them, and then, you know, hopefully you can make it to the second weekend.
Hey, I want to tell you about The Fence Man. If you own a business that needs more security, or maybe you need a better look, more curb appeal for your business, a new fence from The Fence Man can give you both. They've been in business for more than 40 years, and The Fence Man can custom install any type of fencing. They can do gates, controlled access, card readers, cameras for around the fencing as well. Call The Fence Man for a quick, no obligations quote, 479-782-3936. That's 479-782-3936. The Fence Man, he ain't afraid of no work.
Because the next big question is going to be for Eric Musselman, that if he does pull off this recruiting class, what is he going to be able to do to go outside of the state of Arkansas? Because it's one thing to have where you have the talent inside the state, it's a little easier to recruit him and all of that, but say if the year after that...
It's a lot easier to recruit all of these four stars because what I just said. He has the entire state recruiting with him. If you're going to, you know, Tennessee to grab a guy, if you're going to California to grab a guy, you don't have that same push. You don't have that same feel because those guys aren't in-state guys. Mm-hmm. And that's a good question. What else is he going to be able to do? Because – and even though everybody keeps talking about, oh, you know, like Arkansas, just get all Arkansas kids and then start to mention Malik and Bobby and Dan Gafford, I don't see too many of those coming up in the next recruiting classes. So the chances are you're probably going to have one or two each class. You're not going to get five. So you're going to have to go and pair those guys with out-of-state kids.
And what's great about that, and what's great about the way college basketball is set up, and obviously what Eric Musselman has been able to do in his career as a college basketball coach, is this whole element with the transfer portal has opened up a whole new element of recruiting to where it's like, you know, say if like 2 years from now we're sitting there and we're looking at, man, Musselman doesn't have any commits. There's not really anybody that looks like they're going to be able to get. Well, the transfer portal can open up, and then immediately you can add two players that are 20, 21 years old that – may be able to already just be able to replace what a true freshman could do.
They will always have guys committed, though, because of just how they do things. They don't wait around. It's one of those things that they're going to offer a certain amount of guys. They're going to get you in here on a visit. They're going to sit back. They're going to wait a little bit. And then they're going to start grabbing the low-hanging fruit. Now, the low-hanging fruit is still other four stars. It just may not be a four star that's as good as another four star or as good as a five-star, but they're not going to sit around and be caught with their pants down at the end of the year. What they're going to use the transfer portal for is, let's say they do get a couple of commits, or, you know, they get a couple of guys, and then guys end up going pro early, or guys end up flunking out of school, or guys end up transferring away. I think they'll save one scholarship for a grad transfer each year, and then somebody leaves the team every single year.
Yeah.
And I can go back over the last 15 years and just go down the list of guys from Ted Capita that didn't make it. Nick Babb left. Jimmy Witt left. Dan Gafford left early. Bobby Portis left. Mike Qualls left. Like, a guy is going to leave. Ja'Cory Williams, a guy is going to leave because he's transferring out, he gets in trouble, or he's going to school early almost every single year. So I think that's where they're going to hit the transfer portal a lot harder.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Matt is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? Talk about how big it was for a guy like a Mason Jones to come out and score 25 points and just his development under Mus. How big is that for guys like Moses Moody and those guys to see a player like Mason develop so short? And I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Yeah, did he score 32?
Yeah, 32 points.
32. I thought it was huge for him because, you know, he kind of started going backwards towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of talk about him this offseason. It just was like he's lost a lot of weight. So I thought that was huge for him. I don't think that Moses Moody cares one bit that Mason Jones did good in his first game. I'm telling you, these guys, once you start recruiting high four stars and five stars, they don't care about the next guy. They don't care about, oh, well, hey, this guy's struggling or this guy's doing great, because to them, it's all about them. And if they can get in and get up enough shots, then they're going to have success. So I don't think that Moses Moody cared at all about what Mason Jones did last night.
See, I wouldn't think so either. But I think it's also just when you see that, because first off, something that I noticed, and I was talking to other people that were in press row yesterday, it seems like a few of these players have lost a lot of weight. Like Mason Jones looks a lot skinnier. Jalen Harris looks a lot skinnier. I don't know if that was by design. They want those guys to be a lot
Mason
smaller.
Mason was for sure.
Yeah.
Mason was for sure.
Brett Dolan was talking about that with Keiko Hydar on the streaming broadcast last night on ESPN Network Plus, that was part of the design to have more stamina at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That he felt run down more at the end of the year. So maybe he'll have more energy towards the back end of the season this way.
Yeah. And so that was one of my first like notices that I saw, is like they looked a lot smaller. But also, you know, with a guy like Mason Jones, I feel like he has the capability, and he had this last year, to where he can go for 30. Like, because he went for 30 last year. He has that capability, but it was the consistency and the drop off from last year too. I'm just curious, going to be, how is this team? Because first game was great. I'm not denying that fact. But how is this team going to be when they go up against teams? Because they don't have Daniel Gafford anymore. They don't have an NBA lottery pick anymore.
Yeah.
This is all just down to them, and they're going to be undersized in a lot of these games. So you can't expect Mason Jones to go for 30 and Isaiah Joe to go for 25 every night, as well as great as that would be. However, does this team go as those two players go, though? Are those going to be the two players?
Yes, and you have to keep Reggie Chaney out of trouble, because if Reggie Chaney is not consistently in your starting lineup and consistently playing 20 minutes a night, then it's going to be real tough in conference play whenever you're going up against teams that have a couple of 6'10 guys or a couple of 6'11, 7-footers. So, yeah, I do think that – I think maybe Isaiah Joe is the most important player, followed by Reggie Chaney, just because lack of size and no depth at that spot, and then closely followed by Mason Jones. And that'll be the trio that I really watched this year to see how much success that Arkansas has. And now, I know the coaching staff isn't going to say this, but I believe that the team, as far as success goes, making it to any form of postseason, which at this point, the NIT or the NCAA tournament, but making it to the NIT would be a successful year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I think most Razorback fans would take that. I'm just trying to prepare people to understand that there's going to be games this year that Arkansas probably loses that maybe you feel like they shouldn't, but it's because of what limitations they have.
They will also beat a couple of people that they shouldn't, because they'll throw those four guards out there. And you've seen it over the years, Tommy. You've seen it. All the listeners have seen it. Whenever you put 17, 18, 19,000 in Bud Walton, it just, especially whenever the fans start going crazy, the other team, like, it takes the breath away from the other team. Start watching the other team's guards and players as the fans start screaming so loud the other team can't hear. They're trying to scream around. They get fatigue a lot quicker. And so I just believe that they're going to beat somebody in Bud Walton that they don't have any business beating. But yes, they will lose to probably a team that going into the game you kind of favor.
And that was going to be my point, is that if you remember, especially early in the Mike Anderson years where they didn't have the best of teams, had some injuries and whatnot, there were some games, like for instance when number 2 Florida came into Bud Walton Arena and Arkansas like beat them by 30.
They ended up winning by 11.
Correct, but they was up by 30.
By 25 the entire game. And I'll never forget this. I remember talking to Coach Z, and he was like, dang. I was like, oh, why are you mad? He said, man, we should have won by 30. And he was correct. But yeah.
Yeah.
But Arkansas plays that game anywhere else in the world.
Correct.
They lose.
Yeah, and that was my point, is that, you know, they'll have games just like they did later that season. I believe it was against Alabama on the road that they lost by 20, and you're like,
by 20,
what?
Yeah.
How did
by
this happen?
By 20 to get into the tournament.
That's right. So it's like you're going to have those moments. You're going to have those games where it's going to be up and it's going to be down. It's just you got to be prepared for it, folks, because this is the way it's going to be.
Are you making the threes, and are you keeping the key players out of foul trouble?
Yes, that's going to be huge as well, because they're going to try – because other teams are going to have scouting reports. They're going to know, hey, if we get these guys in foul trouble – it's going to be bad news.
And you're going to have better defenders on Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones down the road, too. That what happens when those guys, you know, go for a combined 30 instead of 60?
Yeah.
You know, what happens then?
Exactly. And you just don't have the firepower to back it up with them.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right. right, folks, it is a Wednesday, and it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, so let's go ahead and get right into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain.
Complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger, swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is time for What's Your Beef Wednesday. I don't have any big ones. I have a few small ones. And my first one's going to start off with last night. In case you haven't known or didn't go to the game last night at Bud Walton Arena, they have these new metal detectors, which, you know, is fine. I don't see any reason why to be upset about metal detectors. But they have an outside one for media because, you know, that little door next to the, I guess it's the south entrance is where the media goes in. And the metal detector is actually outside, which I'm curious is gonna, how that's going to be in January. Are they just going to have somebody sitting up there in the freezing cold?
I think they're all outside other than the south entrance, which has...
Oh, is that right? See, I didn't go to those other entrances. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think they're, other than the south entrance, they're all outside.
Okay, well, that's going to be really interesting to have those people out there. Well, anyways, I'm
walking. What are you doing when it rains?
I guess you just get an umbrella. It's the only thing I can think of.
Ooh.
But I will say, though, that when I'm walking up and the media has their own one, and I'm, you know, I see it, and I'm like, okay, I just get my backpack off, ready to go in. And I don't know who this guy is. I've never seen him in the media before, but he is throwing a fit about having to walk through this metal detector, which tells me one of two things.
Was he black or white?
He was white.
Okay.
What difference does that make?
Well, because if he was black, there's only a couple of people it could have actually been, and I wasn't there, so I could, you know, I could guess really quick who it was.
Hey, I would have told you before, not on the air, but before I was going to do this, who it was, if it was somebody that we knew. But no, I didn't know who this guy was, and... He walks up, and he's kind of in front of me, and they're like, sir, you just need to take your bag off. And he goes, what do you mean? Why am I having to do this? I have nothing on me. And I'm like, okay, one of two things is happening. One, this guy's a jerk. And two, this guy might have something on him that he doesn't want anybody knowing about. Because it's not like it's one of these, it's not an airport metal detector where you got to take off your shoes and your belts and all that. It is the very bare minimum of a metal detector. And he's losing his mind. And I'm like, dude. This is for safety precautions anyway, and you're making me nervous and other people nervous when you're freaking out about walking in. And he was just having a fit and having to take off his bag, and he opens it up and says, yeah, see that? All it is a laptop. That's all I got. That's all I got. You happy now? And my whole thing is this, folks, these guys are just doing their job. It's not like
they're not the ones that made the decision. Hey, I think I'll bring a metal detector to work today.
Yeah, it's not like Hunter Yurecek went to the yellow-vested people and said, you know what, do you guys think we should need for this year in basketball? And they all said metal detectors. And they're the ones that did it. They're just doing their job, all right? And first and second off, it's a metal detector. It's for safety precautions. It's the bare minimum.
Some of this...
It takes 2 seconds to go through.
I don't know. You could get, you know, a little more clarification from those in the administration. Some of this, like Homeland Security, says, all right... If you're having events that have this many people attend, here's the bare minimum we're going to insist you do in order to keep people safe when X number of people gather. You know, so if you have a crowd of 10 or 15,000 or more, you need metal detectors, you know.
Exactly.
Some of this, you don't get a choice. And you had so long. And I think the league has a policy. Arkansas is one of the last leagues to put metal detectors in its major sporting venues. And guess what? It's coming to baseball, and it's going to be at football next year.
That's right. So you just got to get ready for it. And again, I had my keys in my pocket, went through the metal detector, and it did not go off.
Yeah, they said you don't have to take your keys and your phone and your pocket change and all that stuff
it's
out.
It's bare minimum stuff, man. So this guy, I don't know who he was, right, man. But
so
just don't freak out.
If you don't have to take your keys and your cell phone and all that stuff out to go into a basketball game, why do we have to do all that stuff? So these are like advanced metal detectors?
I mean, they look like metal detectors to me, so...
Then why can't we do this in the airport? Why can't the airport get... If Arkansas can do it for a basketball game, why do we have to unload every personal belonging we have with us at the airport?
I don't know. My question...
Is that a reasonable question?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one. I was just looking at the fact that maybe it's a little different because in planes and whatnot, it's... you got to be a little more strenuous because of the amount of people from everywhere. I don't know, but I doubt anything major is going to happen at a Razorback basketball game at Budweiser Arena. But I don't know if it was just these advanced ones that's able to tell and differentiate between keys and knives or something. I don't know, but it's all I know is that they said, hey, can you remove your bag? I said, sure. Opened it up. They saw my laptop. They said, go ahead. I walked through. I was done. It took 15 extra seconds. It was over.
Here's the thing no one's considered. Next season, these go in place where?
Football. Yeah.
What's a flask made out of?
Metal.
Just saying.
I have some plastic ones.
I mean, you got to get creative, yeah.
Well, it's just saying.
The metal ones are only the ones, like, if you're like a groomsman. But if you're going to go buy one, you just get a plastic one.
Yeah. You got to be smart about it. That's all. You just got to plan ahead. You just got to plan ahead. Which, by the way, and here comes another question. This is not just a beat, but on top of it. You know, they're selling beer and wine in Bud Walton starting November 16th.
Right.
Can the press box have beer in it?
Why
because
not?
Because you can go and buy other concession items in the press box and bring it down. So
why not? Look, if they try to say that you can't, you got to throw that out there. Just like, you know, people, you know, they try to say, oh, you can't say we,
yeah,
or our, like it's not your team.
Yeah,
you can't say we.
It just got to be another thing too.
Whatever.
Well, I need to start taking over unders or maybe just prop bets on who will be the first media member to walk in with the beer.
First one. Come on.
Huh? Me for
you
sure.
Need to be the first one.
Be the trendsetter?
Yeah.
The one gang.
You want to be
in the media ever.
You want to be the one to. Everyone's talking about, tweeting about, hey, John Neighbors is having a beer here in press row.
Then what if I get kicked out and my credentials get
revoked?
That's
even better.
He's not going to do that. John cares about what his peers think.
Yeah.
Which
that's a problem.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. I mean, Tommy, you wouldn't want me to, you know, be a bad influence or a bad representation of the company.
Depends on if Hoag Hog wrote a story about it and linked it back to hit that line.
Yeah, start giving some credit.
So
start putting the things back to me. I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. I just feel like that.
Here's what you do. You go to the concession stand. You make sure you're sitting next to Clay. All right.
Does he go to basketball games?
Well, just make sure he's there.
All right.
So you get two beers and you come down and you just sit one in front of Clay and you know, so then you box
and
him
cheers.
In. Yeah. That's what you do.
I guess so, because it'll be Bud Light products. Or Bud Light. Yeah. So, I mean, that may be more of a Dudley thing, because Dudley's a big Bud Light
Dudley
guy.
Wouldn't bother Dudley at all.
Dudley would be like, why didn't you bring me two? I mean,
which one are you? You can get one for you.
Yeah, I was gonna say Nate Allen, maybe Bob Holt. That would be the funniest ones to actually do it. But anyways, I've gone on too much. I've gone on too long for my beef. So I got to pass it along to Tommy. Tommy, who or what or where or how?
I had a serious one, and I don't feel like I should do anything serious.
No, do serious.
Now.
We got to switch it up. Can't be the same.
Timeout management. I mean, it's just been grinded my gears all year. And this past game against Mississippi State, it was just as horrendous as always. Two particular timeouts Arkansas calls, and I hate defensive timeouts. How do y'all feel? I mean, unless you are just in a real bind.
Unless you're really gassed and you need some substitutions, and it's like in a pivotal part of the game, that's the only way.
Arkansas was down 17-7, and Mississippi State had the ball. Arkansas calls timeout with 8:01. In the second quarter, and then the next play, Mississippi State scores. And these are the things. Twice, Arkansas has called some defensive timeouts, and I hate that. I mean, I hate these defensive timeouts. Is it me, or does it seem like Arkansas is constantly mismanaging timeouts? Or you'll come out of a change of possession, and within a play or two, you're calling timeouts in just odd spots. Because you can't get the right personnel on the field. Or in one instance, and this wasn't a timeout, you came out of a timeout and they had 12 men in formation and they got a substitution infraction penalty. These things are driving me insane. It just seems like, unfortunately, whatever, they haven't needed the timeouts at the end of the game.
Yeah, it hadn't really mattered.
So it hadn't really mattered. But it just goes to show you, once again, the lack of organization or the lack of... It's just not put together on the sideline. We were talking yesterday, you know, about the two freshman players who basically have wasted a couple of games on kneel down plays. And Andrew Hutchinson wrote the point on article, and well done by him. You know, just absolute disorganization. That's the only way you can describe it. Is it's not organized. And this goes back, it's just another sign and another symptom of this. That's what my beef is today, is it's just another symptom of the lack of either not having a plan during the week in coaches' meetings and staff meetings that carries over to the sideline, or not being able to execute that plan once you get in the heat of the battle on Saturday. And timeout mismanagement is another just point of contention with me.
And that's a fair one. And that's one that, you know, of all the disorganized things that this football team has been going through, that's just another one. I mean,
but what they did to Latham in Cavalier.
Yeah, that's the big, most egregious thing of it all.
But it's just these little things like that. And I don't think that these are little things, actually. I think these are big things. They're just a sign of either they're not meeting about it and they don't have a plan, or they're not able to take their plan and put it in place during the games. One of the two. And I can't, you know, only they could answer what's going on there. But, you know, it's just mind-boggling what is happening here in some of these instances.
Yeah.
But the timeout mismanagement is just unbelievable.
Well, I think there should never be a timeout taken in the third quarter anyway.
So. Okay, now, I heard you say that earlier.
Yeah.
I agree with two timeouts taken. I think you can still take at least one.
Let me put it this way. You can, and I don't think it'll be completely and totally detrimental, but to me, especially if you're good enough to be in those games, those three timeouts can be, because think about it, if you turn the ball over on downs or something, and you're still down and it's a minute 40 left, you need those three timeouts
Might be the only way you can win the game in the end.
Exactly. And this is not real life, but I'm just throwing it out there. When I played my NCAA football simulation against Bama, I won on a Hail Mary. And the only reason I won is because Connor Limpert missed the field goal. Bama got the ball back, had all three timeouts left. I called three straight timeouts, got the ball back to punt. So just saying, you got to make sure you have them. But I think that there are circumstances.
It wasn't real life.
I know. I can't believe it didn't translate onto the football field against Alabama. But there are circumstances. I totally get it. It's just anytime you take a timeout because you're not lined up right or something like that.
Then you take a timeout and you have 12 on the field and get a 5-yard penalty.
That's impressive. Like that's double jeopardy right there. That's awful. That is awful.
I'm remembering that right. That did happen Saturday, right?
It did happen. There was
that
a lot
wasn't
of
a nightmare. That happened Saturday.
No, it was a nightmare, but it's just it's definitely did happen though, for sure. Do you have something you're beefing about, Nick?
Yeah. I got a quick one. I'm beefing about the NCAA as a whole, and especially whenever it comes down to ruling players eligible or ineligible after they're trying to transfer from school to school. I'm not saying that the Vanover decision was right or wrong. I just would like for them to come out.
It's got to be a deadline.
Yes. So now, that is a problem. First things first.
November 1.
It's a problem.
October 15. Pick something.
Yes.
Some committee needs to say.
Pick anything.
Yeah.
But he got declared eligible at, like, what, 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
For a 7 p.m. tip. Yeah. So I do have an issue with that. I also have an issue. I wish they would come out and say, okay, the reason that we cleared this guy that was going from Rice to Baylor is because we looked at these certain things. Now, the reason they're not going to say that is because right now they can sit behind a wall and just say,
there's no accountability.
And so, I just wish they would come out and make statements on why guys were ruled eligible and why guys were ruled ineligible.
Well, and there just needs to be some transparency, and because that's what people want out of the NCAA more than anything. They want consistency. And especially when certain players are given waivers and certain players are not given waivers, you know, it's got to be really frustrating. For instance, like Nick, I know you remember this, when Landis Harris transferred in, people thought he had a legitimate reason, but he didn't get ruled eligible. But then I'm trying to remember who it was, but like somebody else got ruled eligible in conference that like had like not a good excuse at all, but they got deemed eligible. And it's just like always these inconsistencies that frustrate fans are like, how is this okay, but this is not okay? And it's not just basketball. It's football. It's pretty much every sport.
I just don't understand how this could have carried on till we're not talking about a stay of execution here. We're talking about someone's eligibility. These aren't life and death matters. Why are we letting this go till literally minutes before the game starts?
Horrible. And then especially if it's a no. If it's a yes, it's almost like it's okay
worth it.
Because it's like, you wait. But when it's a no,
Like, what changed in that 24, 48,
72-hour period that you could have done beforehand.
They had to do it because it's about to be a basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much
it. Makes you wonder how much they actually looked into Connor Vanover's situation, how much they actually bet, or they just rubber stamp no and move on.
Hey, and you know what? It's a stupid theory, but it might have some truth to it. Maybe they actually were going in alphabetical order. And Vanover, since it's in the V. Like, maybe. I know it sounds dumb, but that's about as good of an excuse as anything at this point.
And I know he's got 3 years left, but is his 3 years more valuable, particularly if they go 5-for-5 with those guys and down the road? Or is it more? I know they want to win and win now, but considering expectations aren't just over the top this year and all that, where is his 3 years more valuable, starting this year or starting next year?
Let me answer your question with a question. Do you think they're an NCAA tournament team if he's eligible?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. Does it is the pressure on him to get to the tournament this year?
No. There's no pressure to get to
the tournament this year.
But if he was able to get to the tournament, you win over. Now, he's won over the fan base, but you really win over the fan base if you're able to get into the tournament this year.
And he gets those five kids.
True. And heck, if he gets three or four out of the five.
I'm just saying Vanover with three or four of those five might be more valuable for those 3 years than rather having him for two of those 3 years.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm sure as the competitor that, you know, Musselman sure is, you just always want to have your cards stacked as
you'd
much
like
as
to
you
have
can.
Him this year because you don't have anyone with it any with height.
And the reason I think they're not going to make it to the NCAA tournament is because of lack of size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but do you think, just honestly, do you think if they had Vanover, it would be the difference?
Would he get him to the tournament?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know. I just haven't seen enough of Vanover here because, I mean, he's playing in Cal. So that they were a bad team on the West Coast. And so I hadn't seen enough of him. Probably not. But I do think that people around the program and a lot of fans, though, would have a lot more confidence. And, yes, I would give them a better chance for sure. But I don't know if just that would be enough.
By the way, we had a few people texting into the Cherokee Casino hotline giving their beefs. Larry in Barling says his beef is, why does Lifetime Network have to show 6 months of Christmas movies?
Why are you watching Lifetime Network?
Yeah, that should be the question. I hope it's because of your significant
300
other
channels to watch.
Well, it's that and the Hallmark channel. Like, everybody's into those Hallmark channels.
My wife will watch that stuff. It's a good excuse for me to leave the room.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it gets you your own time. It's your own time. But I don't know, Larry. I don't know. I think that the whole Christmas thing and how early it starts up is just ridiculous within itself.
I mean, Sam's has had Christmas trees for sale late September, something like that.
It's going to get to the point where it's just 24/7, 365. There's going to be Christmas stuff all the time. But apparently I'm the minority of thinking that's dumb. A lot of people think it's okay.
No, I'm with you.
But I'm with you. Also, Zach Orange just texted me and says that his beef is having to call a high school game on Friday night and then having to be on campus for his pregame show at 7 a.m. the next morning.
Right. I'll trade you, big boy. You can go here and do a radio show at 0600.
Yeah, while getting done reffing a game on Friday night. So, no sympathy from us, Zach Arnes. Yeah.
Who does he do play-by-play for?
Springdale High School.
Okay.
The voice of the Bulldogs.
Is that going to justify any other reason?
No,
you're just curious.
I just was curious because I didn't know he did play-by-play.
Yeah, no, I have no sympathy for you, Zach. Yeah. Sorry. We make it to where we wake up at 4:30 every single morning, and waking up, I guess, on Saturday at 4:30 once again won't be the worst thing in the world.
Nick said he'd join us, though.
I did hear that. I didn't hear that.
Where's the show at?
Right here.
Oh, it's not, like, remote anywhere?
No, not Saturday.
Yeah, I probably can pass on that one.
Yeah, well, that's understandable, too. So, but it'll be a fun time. You know, it's nice to get those early shows done.
The catering on weekends is unbelievable.
What are we having?
Oh, it's off the charts.
Is it breakfast?
Omelet bar, waffle bar, guy with a chef hat on, carving ham.
You know, you could have come up with a better lie than that one if you were going to make me get all hyped up for the game and food. So,
your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.